Turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 4, if you would please. The book of Ephesians chapter 4. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. We've got Bibles for you to use this morning. If you need one, go to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Bus children, you go on with Mrs. Reese. Thank you for being here with us this morning. Ephesians chapter 4. Anybody need a Bible, just raise your hand up high, if you would please. If you need a copy of the Word of God, go with us to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. If you're using one of our Bibles, be on page 1253. That was a beautiful song that the choir sang for us this morning, Always the Cross. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ would love us enough to go to the cross, and thank the Lord for that. So, Brother Adam, you're doing a good job, and the choir did a wonderful job. Thank you so much for that, and just sort of keep it up. I appreciate everyone's kindness. I turned 60 this past week. And so everybody had fun celebrating 60 years for their pastor. And when I came to work on Wednesday morning, I had 60 balloons waiting for me inside my office. I still have balloons inside my office. If you'd like one after the service, I'll give them to you if you'd like. And just come see me. And I'll be more than happy to share my balloons with you. And then we just had a wonderful day throughout the day. Junior, senior high class invited me to have lunch with them. And so we had a good lunch together and a good time with the junior, senior high students. The elementary class greeted me with this wonderful card. I didn't bring it this morning. I should have. It's got a fish on the front of it, and it's got little Google eyes on it. And I asked the question, if I look like that. So, you know, I held the card up to my face and asked them, how many of you think I look like that? Well, the whole class raised their hand, you know. And then on the inside of the card, it said something. I can't remember what it said. But the gist of it was, you know, have you been spending too much time in the water or something like that? Because now I'm 60, you know, I got all these wrinkles, you know. And the teacher who picked that card out tried to sort of calm it down a little bit by saying, you know, wrinkles on your hands. And I'm thinking, I don't have wrinkles on my hands. I know where my wrinkles are. So we had a good time. And I appreciate your kindness. I appreciate your love that you expressed. The cards, some of them were serious. And some of them were silly, and I enjoyed them all. So thank you so much. I had a good birthday. Kaylee was asking me this morning, did you have a good 60th birthday? I did. It was so much fun. I'll do it all over again next year. And I'll be like Jack Benny and just stick on that one for the next however many years. Huh? But I think he stuck on 39. Wasn't it 39 he stuck on? So I'll grow gracefully and show my age as senior. I went in the senior class this morning, and they made a comment about my movements. And I said, well, educate me. What are they supposed to be like now? So they're giving me some lessons on how to slow down and things on that order. So I have to get really slow with my preaching now. Not teasing. All right. Ephesians chapter 4. We got too much to do to do that. All right, here we go. Our study today brings us to a very practical section in the book of Ephesians. And it's right in line with our theme for the year, our theme for our church for this year is the theme of putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Our theme verse is Romans chapter 13 and verse 14. Read it with me if you would, please. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You know, this is very important for those of us who are God's people that know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. God expects us to put on Christ, to be people who manifest His Son on this earth. To do that, we've got to learn not to make provision for the flesh. Very difficult, because we're living in a world that feeds the flesh. It's challenging, is it not? But God says, don't make provision for your flesh to fulfill the what? The lust thereof, the desires thereof. You know, we're to fulfill the desires of God. God has some desires for us. And this morning we are in a section in Ephesians chapter 4 that goes right along with our theme for this year of putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's one reason I believe the Lord led me to choose the theme, because it's right in line with where we're at in Ephesians. And I knew that studying the book of Ephesians would challenge us about the kind of life that is the Christ-like life of putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning we're going to see in this passage of Scripture three directives that apply to every Christian. If you're here this morning and you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, you cannot leave here this morning and saying, well, that message wasn't for me. That message didn't apply to me. This is something that God is speaking about for all of His people, every one of us myself included. If you're physically able to do so, we want to stand for our scripture reading. If you're not, just remain seated, and that's fine. But look in your Bibles, if you would please, in verse 17. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, I want to begin reading there to get the flow of the passage. Our focus is really is going to be on verses 26, 27, and our 25, 26, and 27. But let's begin in verse 17 to get the flow and the context. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard of him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then notice, if you would please, verses 25, 26, 27, we are our focus this morning. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for your members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Father, we thank you for being such a wonderful God to us, and for the Lord Jesus Christ being such a wonderful Savior. Father, we know that knowing the Lord Jesus Christ brings some responsibility to our lives. And you tell us in your word, Lord, that we as your people are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not to make provision for our flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And Lord, as we make our way through this passage of Scripture and as we study the book of Ephesians together as a church, Lord, speak to our hearts, and Father, may the Word of God become real in our lives. And may we be urged by the Holy Spirit of God and moved by Him to put on our Savior and to live out His life every day that you give us. Father, I pray for our soul-winning teams that are going out, Lord. Give us an effectual, open door. Lord, just an opportunity to speak to people about the Savior. May souls be saved as a result of our efforts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Last Sunday morning, we were making our way through verses 17 through 24 of Ephesians chapter 4. And as we saw that the Lord Jesus Christ, when we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, when He saved us, He not only saved us from sin's penalty and gave us a forever home up in heaven, but He also brought some Christian responsibility into our lives. For example, in verses 17 through 21, we just want to do a little review, so stay with me if you would please. In verses 17 through 21, the Bible there teaches that we're not to live as our unsaved counterparts out in the world live. Understand that the church at Ephesus was a Gentile church. And as it was made up of Gentile believers, in verse 17 it says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth," from this point on, he's saying there, now that you've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, "from henceforth, walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." It's not my intent this morning to go back and re-preach that message, just bring to remembrance some refreshing of the truths that we were looking at last Sunday, last Lord's Day. When you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, Christ has got something new for you. He's got a new way of living. He's got a new life He wants you to live. And it's a whole lot better than the old life you lived before you knew the Lord as your Savior. And He says, now from this point on in your life, you know, just don't walk as the unsaved counterparts out in the world are walking. Don't live the way you lived before you came to know the Lord as your Savior. He goes on and He describes how they were living and really sums up our culture in a heartbeat, does it not? In a nutshell today, our culture is really described here in Ephesians chapter 4, people walking in the emptiness of their minds, the vanity of their minds. This is a vain world that we're living in. People have all kinds of ideas of what's going to bring them peace and happiness and fulfillment in life, and yet they go after this and they go after that and they go try something else, and their life is an endless cycle of the vanity of their mind. Vanity of vanities, as the book of Ecclesiastes says, all is what? Vanity. Unless you've got the Lord in your life and got the very center of your life, man, you're living in the vanity of your mind, the vanity of life. And the Lord says, man, we're not to live like that. He says that these folks have their understanding darkened. They're alienated from the life of God. They don't know the Lord. They don't have life with God. They've been blinded. They've got the blindness of their hearts. They've hardened themselves in their sins. Notice verse 17. They're past what? Feeling. And so therefore they give themselves over to all kinds of sinful corruption and really feel no conscience about it whatsoever. They work, the Bible says, they're all uncleanness with what? Look in your Bibles, please. I'm at the end of verse 19. They all uncleanness with what? In other words, they can't get enough of it. They can't get enough of it. They keep feeding and feeding and feeding and feeding and feeding. They're greedy about it. They're never satisfied. They keep on feeding the flesh. And that's not how God's people are to live. Hey, we're to put on who? We're to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not to make provision for the what? Flesh, to fulfill the lust thereof. And so we saw this last week, this challenge, this responsibility to not live like people out in the world are living that don't know the Lord as Savior. Not only that, but we saw in verse 22 that we're to put off, look at this verse 22, we're to put off concerning the former what? Conversation. The word conversation in the passage there would be talking about your lifestyle, your manner of life, your behavior. And he says, let's put off your former behavior. And notice that it describes it as the old who? Man. It would be wonderful when we got saved if the Lord just rid us of the old man. But he didn't. He didn't. If he rid us of the old man, guess what? We wouldn't be here. Because the old man is our flesh. The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other. You know, our old man, our old flesh is very simple. It's corrupt from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. We've been defiled by sin, and we have sinful desires, do we not, in our flesh. And the Lord says that we've got to learn to put that man, old man, off concerning the former conversation. And I want you to notice in verse 22 how the Lord describes it. It is corrupt according to the deceitful what? Lust. That's our old man. So we've got a responsibility. Put him off. We've got a responsibility in verse 23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We always need an ongoing renewal through the Word of God. We've got to keep ourselves in the Word of God. That's where our renewing comes from. Be renewed. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. By the way, let me encourage you as a Christian, whether you'll come to our church or whether you'll go to another Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church, and by the way, that's the only kind of church I believe you ought to go to. Right. Amen. A Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church. Whether you choose our church or some other church, that's the only church I believe you ought to go to. Right. You need to go to a church that's going to open this book and going to give you the Word of God. It's going to feed you the Word of God. And regardless of whether you come to our church or whether you go to another Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church, you need to stay in the Word yourself. Amen. Yes. Renewing of your what?
Mind.
And let me say and encourage you, and this was just what I was thinking about just a moment ago, and that is there's a little saying, three to thrive.
Right.
And that is God's people need to be faithful in the attendance of God's church. And if you want to be a thriving Christian, be committed to all three services of the church of the church all week long. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. It's going to help you. It's going to benefit you. Preacher's not saying that for himself. I'm saying it for you. It's going to benefit you. It is for your good. It's the renewing of your what? Mind. And then spend time every day in the Word of God. That's a responsibility we have as Christians. And then notice it goes on to say this. This is just review. I haven't got to the message yet. Hang on. We'll get there. Verse 24. Verse 24, and that you put on who?
New man.
See, if any man be in Christ, he's a new what? Creature. He's a new creation. Spirit of God's come and brought a new nature in your life. In fact, he is that nature. Spirit of God. Flesh, lust against the?
Spirit.
Spirit against the? Holy Spirit wants us to do what's right. Flesh wants us to do what is wrong. Who wins the battle? Depends upon which one you yield to. Depends upon which one you give into. In a sense, it's, and I know this illustration can break down, but just let me use it because I think it'll help you. In a sense, it's the one who's the strongest in your life. In other words, if all you're doing is feeding your flesh is going to be extremely strong, is it not? And what's going to happen to the voice of the Spirit? It's going to be pretty weak, isn't it? And you're not going to listen to it. But if you learn to say no to the old man and yes to the new man, that strengthens the new man. And guess what? You've got some victory in your life. And notice verse 24, it says, put on the new man. And look at this now. I want you to see this because I'll make reference to it later on in the message. Which after God is created in righteousness and true what? So at the end of verse 22, it speaks about putting off the former conversation of the old man. And it says at the end of verse 22, the old man is corrupt according to deceitful what? Lust. And at the end of verse 24, it says that the new man after God is created in what? Righteousness and true what? So where is the flesh going to lead you? Wrong way. And where is the new man going to lead you? Right way. Does everybody follow me on that? You see that in Scripture?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Don't go to sleep on me. Just want to make sure you're with me. I'm not here doing this just for me. We're here together, amen?
Amen.
We're here from the Word of God, aren't we?
Amen.
By the way, it is God's Word.
Amen.
And we need to respond to it as that this is God speaking to me. And if you're going to take the Bible as God speaking to you, then the only right response to that is say, Lord, speak to me. Speak, for thy servant heareth. I've got open ears. I've got a tender heart to what you want to say to me today. Now, we get into our new section this morning. We get into verses 25, 26, 27. We take it in sections simply because you wouldn't appreciate me preaching the whole chapter at once. We'd go home after the evening service. So we sort of have to take it in sections and bits, and so it's not that the Bible has sectionized itself, we just sort of have to break it down some. And so I've broken it down this morning into three verses. And as we look at these three verses, they give us three directives, three commands, if you would please, that every Christian needs to heed in their lives. The first one is going to deal with the issue of honesty in verse 25. Look in verse 25. Wherefore, putting away what? Lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. The second one is going to deal with the issue of anger and how that our anger must be brought under control. Be angry and sin what?
Not.
Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And the third directive has to do with not giving place to the devil in your life. Don't allowing Satan to have an opportunity to work in your life. Notice what it says in verse 27. Neither give place to who? To the devil. So that's where we're headed this morning, and that's, Lord willing, where we're going to go, and we'll see how far we get into this. Let's begin, first of all, by dealing with the issue of honesty. The issue of honesty. That is an issue that is greatly important.
Amen.
For all of God's people. And notice the directive for all of us in verse 25 is this. Putting wherefore. In other words, put off the old man. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new man. Wherefore? Put away what? If you're going to put off the old man, you're going to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, you're going to put on the new man, then something's got to go from your life. And here's one of the things that got to go from your life. You got to deal with this issue of honesty. You've got to come to terms with truthfulness. You've got to come to terms with lying. And he says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man what? Truth with his what? So we're going to think about this issue of honesty a little bit here this morning. And when we talk about lying, lying is saying something that's contrary to fact.
Right.
Lying is saying something that's contrary to truth, and it's spoken with the intent to deceive. That's what makes it a lie. And I want you to understand this morning that it's pretty easy. In fact, it's very easy to give your life over to a pattern of lying so that it just becomes sort of a habitual pattern in your life. And the Lord here says that we are to take lying and we're to do what with it? We're to put it what? Away. Because I want you to understand, lying is not of God. Lying is of the devil. Don't you understand that truth? Lying is not of God. Lying's of the devil. Listen, our God never lies. Our God is a God of truth. Let me show you this verse, one of my favorite verses in the Bible about God. Deuteronomy chapter 32, if you would please. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. It's one of my favorite verses about God. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, fifth book of your Bible, page 252, if you're using one of our Bibles. You know, we need to understand that our God is a God of truth, that our God does not lie. And in Deuteronomy chapter 32, look what the Bible says here. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, in verse 4, the Bible says, of the Lord. And if you don't have this verse marked in your Bible, I would certainly encourage you to underline it in your Bibles. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4, notice what it says about the Lord. He is the what?
Rock.
Solid. Firm foundation. Isn't that a blessing? We've got a firm foundation. We've got a solid rock to stand upon. Our God. God is the rock. I like the next phrase. His work is what?
Perfect.
You can count on God. All His ways are judgment. That would mean that God is just in what He does. That's the idea. That's the thought there. And notice He goes on to say He is a God of what? Truth and without iniquity, without sin, just and right is He. I'm so thankful that I can stand here this morning and tell you that God is a God of truth. If God was not a God of truth, we couldn't believe this book. How could you have confidence in reading this book if you thought God wasn't telling you the truth? If you thought God was a liar, would you pay much attention to Him? Sure wouldn't, would you? I'm glad that God is a God of truth. In fact, the Bible tells us that God cannot lie, and it is impossible for God to lie. So understand that God is a God of truth. Lying is not of God. It is of the devil. I want you to understand, by contrast, you can't trust a word that comes out of the mouth of Satan. You can trust everything that comes out of the mouth of God. You can't trust anything that comes out of the devil's mouth. Take your Bibles and look over in John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Stay with me. We're learning something about lying here this morning. We're dealing with the issue of honesty and how we need to learn honesty in our lives. In John chapter 8, if you would please. In John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, in verse 44, look what the Bible says. In John chapter 8, in verse 44, Jesus was speaking to a group of unsaved religious people. They were religious, but they were lost. And He says, in John chapter 8, in verse 44, He says, "Ye are of your father, the devil." I'm sure they didn't appreciate what He said, but it was the truth. He says, "You're of your father, the devil." He says, "The lust of your father ye will do." And notice how He goes on to describe the devil. He says, He was a what? Murderer from the what? Doesn't sound like a good guy to me. Doesn't sound like someone you'd want to call your friend, a murderer. He was a murderer from the beginning. And the Bible says that He abode not in the what?
Truth,
because there is no truth in Him. There's complete truth in God, but in the devil there is no truth. The verse goes on to say, when he speaketh a lie, now get this, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh his what?
Own.
And look how God surmises the devil. For he is a what?
Liar,
and he is the what?
Father
of it. You know, when the Bible speaks of Satan being the father of lies, that means he's the originator of lies. Who began telling lies? Wasn't God. Satan. You know, God warned Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden not to partake of the forbidden fruit. And God said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely what?
Die.
Satan turns around in the next chapter, a few verses later, and says to Eve, point blank, Eve, ye shall not die. What was he doing?
Lying.
He's feeding her a lie, wasn't he? She bought into it. She disobeyed God. Adam bought into it. He disobeyed God. Sin entered into the world. Sin brought death. And mankind has been suffering ever since. What I'm saying here this morning is that lying is not of God. It is of the devil. You see, the Bible says we're to put away what? lying, and we are to speak truth, every man to his neighbor. I also want to point out to you that lying involves all kinds of different ways of deceit and deception. It can manifest itself in very blatant ways, and it can manifest itself in ways that are just very subtle. They're very subtle. And so when we speak of being honest and we speak of being telling the truth, you know, we're not talking about shading the truth. You know what I mean by shading the truth? Saying something, but saying it in such a way to make a slant to it that is not really the reality of it.
Right.
See, that's shading the what?
The truth.
That's not being honest. That's a lie. That's a lie. Sometimes people say, well, I just told a, what kind of lie?
A white lie.
It always amazes me when people say that. I wonder what a purple lie looks like. I mean, why do they say white lie? If you know, educate me on the way out, would you? Okay, I just don't know. Yeah, well, I told a little purple lie. Chartreuse. Yeah, I don't know why they pick on that, do you? Good. Very good. Say that again to me on the way out so I make sure I get that in my mind. But the point is, a lie is still a what? Regardless of what you want to. But like Dee's saying back there, they think it's okay because there's some pureness to it. Boy, that is the deceitful of man's lies, is it not? To think that a lie is okay because it's a pure lie. Kids, I hope you're listening to the Word of God and not to the reasoning of man.
Amen.
Because the Word of God is going to tell you, put away what?
Lying.
Put away lying. Exaggerating the truth. That's a form of lying. Cheating. That's lying, isn't it? You're taking somebody else's work as your work if you're cheating in school.
Right.
All right? And saying, I did that, when in reality you didn't. That's a form of lying. Failure to keep promises. That's a form of lying. Betrayal of someone's confidence. Flattery. So a lot of people, you know, there's people in our world that practice flattery. They think flattery will get them somewhere, but you know, flattery is not telling the truth. It's not being honest with people. Yeah? You might come up to some lady and out of flattery tell her that she looks really great, when in reality she knows she looks terrible. I'll stop right there. Fudging on your tax returns. That's not being honest. It's not being honest. Turning in work hours that you say you worked when in reality you didn't work. That's not honesty. You know, whatever form it takes, God hates it. I didn't say God hates you. I said God hates it. What does God hate? He hates the sin of lying. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs in Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. I just feel burdened that we need to spend some time on this issue of honesty this morning, because really this is an area that gets so compromised in the world that we're living in today. And we as God's people need to be people who embrace honesty. If all the people that ought to walk the face of the earth who ought to be honest, I would think that all mankind would want to be honest, would hope to be honest, we'd like for them to be honest, but reality tells us that they're walking in the flesh, and their flesh is corrupt, and they're going to do evil things, and they're going to lie to get themselves out of trouble, and et cetera, et cetera. But God's people need to be honest. In Proverbs chapter 6, notice if you would please, in Proverbs chapter 6, in verse 16. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16, we'll not go through the whole list of things that God hates, but notice in verse 16 it says, "These six things doth the Lord hate." One of our bus children asked me just before church started this morning, "Are there things that God hates?" The answer is
yes.
Yes. And notice God says what he says. He says, "Yea, seven are abomination to me." He says, "I hate a proud what?" And second on the list is, "I hate a lying what?"
Tongue.
God hates lying. Look over in chapter 12, please. Proverbs chapter 12. In Proverbs chapter 12, we'll look in verse 22. In Proverbs chapter 12, in verse 22, the Bible says, "Lying lips are," look at it now, "they are what? An abomination to who? The Lord. But they that deal truly are his what?
Delight."
Listen, when God uses the word abomination, it is a very strong word. He reserves it for the worst of things that really he hates. These are things that God absolutely cannot stand. When you see something in the Bible speaking of an abomination, God cannot stand it. And you know what God says I can't stand? I can't stand lying lips. They're an abomination to me. But he says those who deal truly, those who tell the truth, God says, "I delight in those people. I delight in those people." Why? Because it's a reflection of him. God is a God of what? Truth. Satan's the father of what?
Lies.
And so we're to stand for the truth. We're to speak the truth. We are to be people who put away lying, put off the old man. See, lying comes with the old flesh, does it not? Put on the new man, which is created after God in righteousness and what? Holiness. That new man is not going to lie. And we're to do that. And our word is to be a word that is absolutely trustworthy. When a word comes out of our mouths, it needs to be a trustworthy word. There used to be an attorney in town. In fact, you folks probably went to church with him. Brother Curley, he's with the Lord as well. Tom Curley. And I met Brother Curley after I first moved to Columbia. And as I was having some business transactions with Mr. Curley, another attorney, something happened, and he had a conflict of scheduling, and he arranged for a different attorney to take care of the business I was dealing with. And so I went to that other attorney, and he was talking to me about Mr. Curley. And he says one thing you can always know about Tom Curley, he's as straight as an arrow.
Amen.
You know what he's saying? He's an honest man. He's going to tell you the truth. We need to be people who are straight as arrows. Honest people. Telling the what? Telling the truth. The Apostle Paul would put it like this. He would say, "Let your yea be yea and your nay be what?
Nay."
Let your yes be yes and let your no be what? And don't mix the two together. Look over in 2 Corinthians. I showed this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're just thinking about this issue of honesty here this morning and how that lying is not of God. It's of the devil. And that lying involves all different kinds of forms of deceit and deception. And sometimes in our flesh, we justify not telling the truth when there is no justification for not being honest. We should always be honest. We should always tell the truth. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, notice if you would please, in verse 17, it says, "When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness, or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh, that there with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, what?
Nay."
I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. Paul speaking about his own manner of life, his own persuasion, what he was doing with the Corinthians, and how he spoke with them, and how that he was minded not to use lightness of speech, and to be serious in the things that he was saying, and the purpose which he had purposed. And he says, I want my yea to be what?
Yea,
at the end of the verse. I want my yea to be what? And I want my nay to be what?
Nay.
When you hear me talking, I want you to be able to know what he says is what he means. That's the truth. That's the truth. And that's how we need to be as God's people. People who are people of our word. I want you to understand this morning that truth is a debt that we owe to our brothers and sisters in Christ. It is a debt that we owe to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Go back with me to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll take this verse just a little bit further in Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 25. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 25, notice what the Bible says. It says, wherefore, putting away lying, what are we to do? Speak every man truth with who? With his neighbor. But then the verse goes on to define who our neighbor is. For we are members one of... You know what it's talking about? That's talking about our brothers and sisters in Christ. In Christ, we are members one of another. We're in the same body. We're in the same family. And family is not supposed to lie. Family is supposed to tell the truth. You with me? So it very clearly, look over in Romans. I'll show you this. In Romans chapter 12, just show you this real quickly. He's speaking here about our brothers and sisters in Christ. This is something that we owe to our brothers and sisters in Christ, to speak the truth to them. In Romans chapter 12, see, he says that we're members one of another. In Romans chapter 12, look if you would please in verse 5. Romans chapter 12, verse 5, 1206 if you're using one of our Bibles. But in Romans chapter 12 and verse 5, look what it says. So we, being many, are one body, and everyone, look at this now, everyone members one of who? You're my brother in Christ. I'm your brother in Christ. You're my sister in Christ. I'm not your sister in Christ, but I am your brother in Christ. We're all members of the same body. Put away lying every man to his neighbor, for we are members one of... Just tell me the truth. You don't have to candy coat it. You don't have to make it look some other way. Just be loving. But tell me the truth. Tell me the truth. I owe it to you to tell you the truth. You owe it to me to tell me the truth. There are two things that I owe you as my brothers and sisters in Christ. And two things you owe me as a brother and sister in Christ. One, we're to be truthful with each other because we're all in the same what? Family. We're all in the same family. Come on. One what? One body. One body. It's the body of Christ. And we're to be what? Truthful. But you know what else we owe each other? To love each other. There are two things we owe each other. We owe each other to love each other, and we owe each other to be truthful to one another. Romans chapter 13, if you're still in Romans. If not, we'll go back there. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Look what it says in verse 8. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. The Bible would say this: owe no man anything but to what? But to love one another. See, do I owe it to you to love you? Do you owe it to me to love me? Do I owe it to you to tell you the truth? Do you owe it to me to tell me the truth? Absolutely. Two things God's people owe each other: to love each other and to tell each other the truth. We owe it to each other. We owe it to each other. Why? We're in the same what? Body. We're in the same family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're to love each other. And we're to tell the truth to each other. You know, the epistle of 1 John speaks a lot about believers loving each other. Let's just go there real briefly. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. This is back toward the book of Revelation. In 1 John chapter 4, if you would, please. We'll just look at these verses real briefly and real quickly. We need to understand that we have an obligation. We have a responsibility to love one another. We have a responsibility to tell the truth to one another. And in 1 John chapter 4, by the way, when I find out people haven't told me the truth, you know what it does? It hurts.
Amen. Amen.
It pierces me through like a sword. And I have an idea it does the same thing to you. And it really challenges me from that point on in my life to say, can I really trust that person? You see, being truthful hinges, trustfulness hinges upon whether somebody's truthful. And if somebody is not trustworthy, they're not truthful, how in the world can I have a relationship with them? You see, trust is the bedrock of any relationship. You want to destroy a relationship, all you have to do is destroy trust. And if you've destroyed trust, you've ruined the relationship. And do you know how hard it is to rebuild trust when trust has been violated?
Extremely.
It's very difficult. 1 John chapter 4. In 1 John chapter 4, I'm just trying to help you here this morning. I'm not fussing anybody. I'm not getting on anybody. I'm just showing you the Word of God and the fact that we are to be people who put away what? Lying. We're to embrace honesty. Put off the old man with his lying nature. Hey, put on the new man, which is created after God in righteousness and holiness. Be a person who is going to be a person of truth. You see, if we're going to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, we can't live in our life of pretense, in our life of hypocrisy, in our life of cover-up, in our life of deceit, in our life of lying, because that's not Christ. And in 1 John chapter 4, look what it says. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7, the Bible says, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Then in the same chapter, verse 11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to do what? Love one another." Then you look down in verses 20 and 21. "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a what? He's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how in the world can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." You understand what we're seeing here this morning? We've got two responsibilities toward each other. And that is, we are to love each other and we're to tell the truth to each other. Amen?
Amen.
By the way, we could take those same two responsibilities and apply them to this lost world that we're living in too. Are we to love sinners? God does. That's why Christ came to the world. Christ Jesus came to the world to save who? Sinners, of whom I'm chief. We should love lost people. And in loving them, we should carry the message of Christ, which means speak the truth to them. Same two things can apply. Do you understand we're dealing with this issue of honesty this morning? Lying, deceit. Do you understand that the first sin that had to be judged in the early church was the sin of lying? That's the very first sin in the church that had to be dealt with. Now, there are other sins that would come along that would have to be dealt with, but the very first one is recorded in the book of Acts was the sin of lying. Acts chapter 5. Let's take our Bibles and go there. Acts chapter 5. You say, "Preacher, it doesn't look like we're going to get on to the next two points here this morning." You know, you're going to talk about directives, and you know what? You're right. The Lord tarries, we'll pick up next week. Amen?
Amen.
Let's just look at this one this morning. Acts chapter 5. The book of Acts in Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, lying was the first sin that had to be judged in the early church. In Acts chapter 5, there was a man by the name of Ananias, and he had a wife by the name of Sapphira. They both end up dead in this chapter because they both lied to God. They lied to the Holy Spirit. Notice in Acts chapter 5 and verse 1, "But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession." So they had a piece of property that they sold, a possession that they sold. And the Bible says in verse 2 that they kept back part of the price his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the disciples' feet. You really have to study the preceding chapter to really get the train of thought of what was taking place. The early church at Jerusalem, there were people who were taking and selling their property and then bringing it and giving it to the church for the good of all, for everyone. Ananias and Sapphira was knowledgeable of that. They sold a possession, but instead of bringing all the amount that they sold it for, they said, we're only going to take and give a part of it, and we're going to keep part for ourselves. Now listen, there was nothing wrong with that action. There was nothing wrong with that action because nobody was mandated to sell a thing. This was all voluntary on this part. What was wrong with the action was their lie, was their deceit, was their pretense. They're pretending to Peter that they have sold it and now they're giving it all. Does everybody follow me on this? Let's go on. Let's see what happens here. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? Couldn't you do whatever you wanted to do with it? And the answer was what? Yes. And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Couldn't you do with it whatever you want to do with it once it was sold? The answer is what? Yes. Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Why did you conceive this lie, this deceit, this deception in your heart? You haven't lied to us. Look what it says. You lied to who? You lied to God. By your action, you told God you were given all this stuff, when in reality you weren't. You've lied to God. It was pretense, hypocrisy, not being real. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, and he gave up the ghost. That means he died. He died. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. I'm going to tell you, if I saw that happen, I'd be afraid too. Wouldn't you? Healthy fear of God in our lives never hurt anybody. Verse 6, the young men arose and wound him up, carried him out and buried him. That was a short funeral. It's about the space of 3 hours, the Bible says, after when his wife, not knowing what was done, and Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. And then Peter said unto her, how is it that thou have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of him which buried your husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Verse 10, then fell she straightway down, or down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the Holy Ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her forth and buried her by her husband. Now, I'm not standing here this morning telling you that God's going to strike you down dead for lying. But this does speak to us about the truth and the importance of telling the truth. How God perceives honesty. God wants honesty. And by the way, God wants a pure church. He wants a pure church. And that's why he did this. This was the very beginning of his church. And right here from the get-go, these people's pretense and lying and hypocrisy could have stopped the whole thing. God said, I'm not going to let it happen. And so he judged them. He judged them in a very severe way. But he did judge them. Why? Because he wanted his church to go on. He wanted purity within the ranks of his church. By the way, God wants purity in the life of his church today. And 1 Corinthians chapter 11 would teach us that in order to keep God from judging us in a severe way, we need to learn to judge our own selves. That if we'll confess our sins, God will forgive us and God will cleanse us. But if we'll not acknowledge our sins to God, if we won't confess our sins to God, then God will take it into his hands to judge us. Now study it. 1 Corinthians 11. It's right there in the Word of God. I'm just trying to point out to you the importance of being honest here this morning. I've got one last thing I want to say about honesty, and then we'll have to close this morning. But take your Bibles, if you would, please, and go with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. The book of Philippians in Philippians chapter 1. Then next week, Lord willing, we'll come back. We'll deal with the issue of anger. We'll deal with the issue of giving place to the devil. In Philippians chapter 1, if you would please. Philippians chapter 1, my last thought about honesty here this morning is this. You know, when we stoop to tampering with the truth, what I mean by that is when we are dishonest and we're not giving forth honest integrity in our lives, we become, listen to me carefully, we become a libel rather than a Bible for people to read. I don't care what you say. People will judge your Jesus by what they see in your lives. Somebody put it like this. They wrote a little poem. You're writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the deeds that you do, by the words that you say. Men read what you write, whether faithless or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you? When you go to work, people know that your life is not upright. There's deceit. There's deception. There's falsehood. There's undercutting your employer. Or you go to school and you have a similar type of action. And then you open your mouth to try to talk to them about the Lord. Your action shuts your witness down. And in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, the Bible says that our conversation is to be such that it becomes the gospel of Christ. You see that? Only let your conversation, your behavior, your manner of life be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. You look over in chapter 2, in Philippians chapter 2, it speaks of a similar thing there in Philippians chapter 2, in verse 15, where it speaks of being blameless and harmless, Philippians 2:15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without, look at this, without what? Somebody said you want to be a Teflon Christian. If somebody throws mud at you, it doesn't stick. You see, when there's dishonesty in our life, we can be accused. And God says we're to be blameless. We're to be harmless. The sons of God without what? In the midst of a crooked and perverse what? Among whom ye shine as what? Lights in the world. Holding forth the word of what? Life. That I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Listen, it matters the kind of life that you live. It matters if there is honesty at the helm of your ship. It matters. Wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth to his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Let's bow together in prayer.